Yeah, we're gonna get going here. So thank you guys for taking the time coming. I know there's lots of awesome options. I'm so thankful that we have great seminars and choices. But thank you guys for choosing to come to our one today on reconciliation done right. Before we begin here, I just want to acknowledge that we're on Treaty 4 land. Just to begin that, and why we do that is to remember the territory that we're on and the people that have traditionally been here and first been here. So we are on traditional territory, the Cree, the Soto, Assiniboine, and Métis lands. So we want to begin that, especially because we are talking about the things we're going to talk about today, about reconciliation and the land as well. And I also just want to pray here, and then I'll do some brief introductions of myself and my friend here, and then we'll get into our topic today. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for the ability, Lord, to be able to come here to Youthquake again, Lord, after a couple years of it not being happening at all. So we thank you, Lord, that we're able to be here and have a lot of fun, but also do some learning. I thank you for every person you brought into this room today, that you'll lead our discussion, Lord, on this topic of reconciliation, an important topic when it comes to where we live, Lord, of how we operate in the church, in our schools, in our lives. And Lord, we need your help when it comes to this, because this is a tricky conversation. These are different things that we could go all sorts of different places with it, Lord. But I pray that you would lead our conversation today, even beyond what we've kind of written down here, Lord, that you will be the one to lead. And I thank you for each person that has come to listen today and to take part in our conversation. So we thank you, Father, for who you are, and we give this time fully to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And so some brief introductions. We don't have tons of time, so I'll just give you a brief introduction. My name is Andrew Russell. And I am Wood Mountain Lakota, so I am adopted. When I was 4 months old is when I was adopted. My birth mom actually registered me at birth, which means that she thought she was going to keep me, and therefore she registered me with the band, Lakota Band, which is near Assiniboia area, southern Saskatchewan, and therefore I'm full status. But I was raised in a non-Indigenous Christian home. My dad was a pastor. And so my story really has been one of, I know that I'm status, I know that I'm Indigenous, I don't look Indigenous. That's been one challenge for me with the things that I've gone through. But as I've actually come to Briarcrest here, I got my Bachelor of Arts here in Christian Ministry. I was a pastor here for a couple years. That I learned a lot about my people and about my culture in general and the history in this place, which I've been very thankful for. So I've been in Canfor for about 10 years. Married for almost 17 years. We got four little kids, and Karenport has been such a wonderful place for us. I'm the Indigenous coordinator here at Briarcrest, which means I'm here as a connection for our Indigenous students, being someone kind of a pastor role, because I'm a pastor as well. Being here for our Indigenous students that come from all over Canada as a connection, as a support. We also put on different events of awareness. And we want to have Briarcrest be a place where we are still talking about Indigenous things because of where we are, because of the context that we're in. So that's kind of a little bit of who I am. I'm also a rapper as well. I go by The Journalist, and I've been doing that for about 25 years. And that ties into what I've done in the Indigenous world. I've gone all across Western Canada to a lot of isolated reserves on anti-suicide campaigns and been able to use rap music, which is the music of Indigenous youth, as a way of ministry as well. And my heart is just to learn more. My heart is to continue to grow in it. So first thing I'm going to say is I'm not an expert, guys, at all. I'm still very much on a learning journey. Come on in, guys. Welcome. Grab a seat wherever. So I'm not an expert. So I don't ever want to claim that. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Every time I speak, I'm learning. I have Indigenous friends who are well more versed in many things than me, but I try to learn from them because that's so important, right? So I want to make that clear that as we're presenting what we're presenting today, I'm not an expert. So that's just make that clear. I also am with my buddy here, Conrad. He's been able to come alongside me. I'll let him introduce himself in a second, but he's really come alongside me as a student here at Briarcrest and a friend when it comes to putting on some of the events that we've done. So he's just going to kind of be here in our discussion as well. I want him to be a part of it because he's been a great help to me. But yeah, I'll let you, Conrad, introduce yourself a bit, and then we'll get into here.
Yeah. So yeah, my name is Conrad Schultz. I grew up here in Karenport. My parents moved here when I was just a couple months old. So pretty unique experience growing up in a place like Karenport. But from 2017 through 2021, before I moved back to Karenport for school, I lived out on Vancouver Island and worked for a nonprofit called Esperanza Ministries that works with First Nations groups up and down Vancouver Island and even a little bit on the mainland. And our motto is love Jesus, love people. And we do that by trying to be the best neighbors possible that we can, living out our faith in practical and loving ways. Esperanza does summer camps, retreats. They've done counseling sessions in the past, crisis intervention. They do like Easter and Thanksgiving celebrations, outdoor adventure programs, kind of a whole slew of things throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And it was there that I kind of dipped my toe into just First Nations culture, and I just fell in love with the people, who they are as First Nations, and their passion and their love and their creativity and their humor. And mm-hmm. And so I came back to Briarcrest to finish off a undergrad in psychology, hopefully pursuing a degree in counseling eventually, so I can go back and continuing to attempt to love the First Nations the best way I can, hopefully in the form of a counselor. And when I came back, I wanted to still be as involved as I could, and I felt that the way I could do that would be to try and find ways to educate the church. Having grown up in the church, that's a little more of my realm than the First Nations side of things, so to be able to come back into a Christian environment and say, hey, these are the things that we need to work on. And these are the ways that we need to build relationships. So that's kind of how I knew Andrew before, so I came back and I was like, hey, Andrew, what can I do to help out? So
it's been great, I mean, to be able to have different experiences and different things that we've seen and gone through and things like that, and it's been really helpful. So I'm very thankful for Conrad. So thanks for your help, man. So I just don't want to make this like formal today. You know, we have some things down we obviously want to talk about, but if you have a question about anything, we're open to that. I've learned in the Indigenous culture, it is very free-flowing. You will show up to an event, and it's supposed to be at this time, and it's actually a little later, because it's very free-flowing. It's not tied to structure as much as maybe we are in a non-Indigenous world. So I just want to make that clear as well. If you're like, oh, I got this question, feel free to just put your hand up and we can kind of go where that goes off of the script. Sometimes that's totally okay. I'm a freestyle rapper, so I'm used to that. So that's okay. But when we came to talk about what we wanted to do at a seminar here at Youthquake, we started talking about that and began talking about, you know, reconciliation, right? That's a word that we hear everywhere, right? We hear it all in the news. You probably hear it in your schools. You might even hear it like too much. And so we wanted to talk about, like, what do we really mean by the term reconciliation? So I guess I'd ask you guys, what comes to your mind just to begin our conversation here? Just maybe a word or two or thought. When you think of reconciliation when it comes to, you know, Indigenous things here in Canada, what comes to your mind? If anything. If not, we can keep moving. But yeah, just to begin our conversation, that's where we want to start. Because the reason why we talk about that is, like, our seminar is called How We Do It Right. So anything that comes to your mind when you think of reconciliation?
Healing?
Yeah. Absolutely, that's a great word.
Mutual respect.
Mm-hmm. I think of restoring.
Restoring, yeah. Yeah, so reconciliation is when there is something that's been broken, right? And then you come back to it, right? Like restoration is a great word, healing, and all those ideas are about something that's been broken and we need to try to bring it back together, right? That is what it's about. And so some things that came to my mind after the discovery of the bodies at the residential school sites, as I was just, as an Indigenous man, and I'm thankful I'm able to say that now, because there was a few years ago where I wouldn't really even say that, because I'm still learning about my identity. But as an Indigenous man, the Lord really laid in my heart a couple words when it came to the discovery of the bodies in that situation at the residential school sites. Was listening, learning, and lamenting. Listening, learning, and lamenting. Because when it comes to reconciliation, there's been too much not listening. There's been a lot of talking, a lot of things we're going to talk about here in a moment that have tried to be done, but listening is one of the most important things, I think, when it comes to to reconciliations, be able to listen to our brothers and sisters, our indigenous brothers and sisters, instead of saying that we have all the answers, instead of saying like, well, we got this figured out, and so we know what we're going to do. And so that is the first word that came to my mind. And the other word was learning. Like I said, I'm still on a learning journey, and so we need to keep learning and keep growing in these things, because how are we going to get better at trying to build relationships, which is the focus of our talk today, if we're not learning, if we're not taking the opportunities to learn, right? And then the other word was lamenting, and that's kind of a hard word. It's a biblical word, but pretty much it means to be in a place of really just having your heart just cry out in God, like just sitting in that pain. So we gathered as a community here after the discoveries, and we just got together as a community in a park here, and we prayed and we lamented. We just sat in it, because we don't want to sit in the pain sometimes. We want to ignore it. We want to just forget it's not there. And so listening, learning, and lamenting have been things that have really helped me. But true reconciliation takes action. Right? It takes actually doing something. And that's what I have been trying to just talk about, and the things we've done here at Briarcrest and other places I get to go, is reconciliation is not just talk, guys. Right? We can talk all day about the terms and things like that, but it's about actually doing something. And that's what we want to focus on today, is what that is. So I think we want to begin with, How have things that been done wrongly when it comes to reconciliation? Because a lot of things have been tried to be done when it comes to trying to reconcile, but there's a lot of things that have been gone wrong when it comes to that. And so, I don't know if Conrad, if you want to just kind of talk about some of the things here that we have tried as Canadians to do to bring reconciliation, but they have not been done well, and they actually have brought more pain. So if there's any...
Yeah,
I thought you had there.
I mean, the big one is financial. I'm sure most of you have read or seen the payouts from the government to reconcile with the First Nations and say, hey, we're sorry, here's some money to make everything better. Mm-hmm. And that is a very Western thing to do. Money fixes all problems. but that's not how the First Nations think. Sure, money can help in some situations to help establish programs or to help fund things in schools or help community development, but the First Nations are not a monetary people. Their history is not their culture is not a culture of wealth and the storing up of wealth. And so that financial payout is kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And another one is silence and just ignoring, where they are portrayed in the media as, almost as children fighting. Like, hey, here they go again for more land claims, but, it's all out of greed. It's all out of just wanting more land, more land, more land. Mm-hmm. Me and Andrew had talked kind of about what the response from the government has been, and we kind of came up with how a parent appeases a child in the middle of a tantrum. And that's not to say that the First Nations are throwing a tantrum, but rather what is the response of the parents? And the parents' response is often like, oh, well, here's a sucker, here's a, and it's a bribe to try and just get through that situation.
Yeah, cover it up to silence, right? Like,
but there's been very little desire or conversation to say, okay, what do you guys actually want from us? Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of just a few of the issues of what we've done wrong, of not listening. That's the big one. Is just saying, oh well, we think we know what you want. We know what you want. So here's the solution we're giving you.
Yeah. But it's not true listening. That's the thing, right? It's trying to cover it up. And so that's why that should be a core. We need to do some more listening. So that's what you guys are doing today. I mean, I just want to just thank you for that, for taking the time to even come and listen, because that is part of what we're even doing today. But what we're talking about when we're talking about reconciliation done right, those are things that have been done wrong. How do we do it right? And as me and Conrad got together and chatted and other conversations I've had over the last little while, is reconciliation is done right when it's through building relationships, right? Because that's what it's all about. I actually just got asked to be a project manager for a national Christian Indigenous Initiative. It's called Reconciliation Through Relationships. and it pairs a non-Indigenous person and an Indigenous person together, and through Zoom chats, unfortunately, through COVID. But you get to know each other, and you actually build relationships. And I was paired with a young rapper from Ontario, and it's actually about being able to ask questions, being able to actually get to know each other. Because that's where reconciliation happens. That's the action. That's the healing part. That is the actual knowledge and learning. So that's what we want to say today, is that it's done through relationships. And that's what is lacking, because there's been a lot of, well, we don't understand, or we don't know, or maybe they need this. But there's not an actual, like, trying to walk in relationships with each other. It's not a healthy relationship at all. So a question we have is, I mean, just to begin to talk about relationships, just a couple quick thoughts here, because we know I'm short for time, but what does a right, healthy relationship look like? Just a real couple, let's say like 3 points, just a couple things.
The common goal.
Common goal, yeah.
Mutual respect.
Yeah, respect is a big one. Yep, for sure, that's super key.
Yeah, having that conversation.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And communication is a big one, right? You know, like I said, I've been married almost 17 years, and like communication is a key thing. Breakdown in relationships happens when the communication isn't there in some way, or in misunderstanding.
And I hope when you get together with your friends that there's a lot of laughter and a lot of joy.
Yeah, that's key too, right? Absolutely.
Before issues, like my grandpa's from the shoe shop, he's 84, and people keep correcting him on the terms he uses because they've changed so much in his 84 years, right?
The terms have?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and
a shout. Yeah.
That's putting the issue before the relationship because he's getting corrected by how he refers to himself.
Right.
So,
kind
of relationship before issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I get that all the time, guys. One of the biggest questions I have, and some people come up to me and whisper it to me, is like, so what do I call you? So what do I say? And I'm like, well, like my status card actually says Indian, but I mean the actual government term is Indigenous, but actually it used to be First Nation more. And so it's like, it's tricky. We get caught up in this, and even that takes away from just the relationship of getting to know each other, because it's like, it's more labels, right? It's more, and it's a separation thing. Like status cards, for example, I am known by the government, I have a number. That's what it is, right? And that seems kind of messed up, but those status cards have numbers on them, and to the government, I am a number on a card. And that may seem like, that's like crazy, but that is the system that is still in place to this day, that is in my wallet right now. And so, yeah, absolutely. Those are the things. So, but belonging, right? Like bring belonging with each other in relationship, in a family, and those things, in a friendship, in, you know, in a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever that is, right? There's a closeness and a love. And when we start talking about, we want to talk about tying this to our homecoming. That's the theme this weekend, right? Is belonging is feeling wanted, right? Like you, at home, you feel like you belong there because you're wanted to be there, right? You feel like you are wanted. So, and homecoming happens when you're apart in a close relationship, but then you reunite again. That's the whole idea of homecoming, is coming back home together and feeling wanted. So, let's look at these things through the lens of the Indigenous people in Canada then. Because that's what we want to do. I don't want to just talk about these things. Like, okay, so now, as an Indigenous person, I can kind of share some of the things. So, same relationships are present, but a big difference is the relationship to the land. That is a big deal. The land is a key thing. We want to just talk about that. So, Connor, if you have any thoughts just kind of about this idea of how important the land is and why it connects a lot to this reconciliation conversation.
Yeah, it's definitely a concept for the Western culture to grasp, because we have no real connection to land. Mm-hmm. We are a very, I don't want to say nomadic's not quite the right word, but we are a people that, you know, the land that my house is on actually doesn't really matter. All that matters is the financial number attached to it.
Yeah.
And the First Nations people, their culture, their belief system, their language is all tied to the land. When a ceremony is performed, it's not necessarily the ceremony, but where that ceremony takes place that actually matters. Mm-hmm. And they're in relationship with the land. The only relationship we really have with the land is what we can pull out of it, how we can make money from it. We see land as a commodity. And the First Nations people see themselves, see the rest of creation, and see God all in unison. And land is a big part of that relationship. And so when when the colonizers came and stole that land from them, they ripped apart that relationship. They destroyed that relationship. They annihilated that relationship. And so when those good things in relationship exist within the family, that's great. The First Nations have that. They have an incredible sense of community and family and sonship and fathership and mothership. But a big relationship is missing. It's been lost. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we need to understand in the form of how we relate to them, about how we build relationship with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why even a lot of the things you see when it comes to Indigenous issues is through the lens of media, right? And you see those things. You'll see Indigenous people, and it sounds like they're fighting over land. They're not letting people on their land because they're coming in to do different, you know, the pipe system, things like that. And you're like, oh, what's going on? What's going on here? And that's why we want to remember, like, but why? Why is the land so important? And like Conrad said, like, it's because it's completely connected to Indigenous people. That's why there's land acknowledgements. That's why, like, there's ceremonies, like you said, like, particular places have significance. And as non-Indigenous people, we don't understand that to that level, right? And so, but it's a huge piece when it comes to what has been lost and what has been taken. And so can you imagine the unity that the Indigenous people have with the land, and now to see what's being done to it and what has been done to it. And the treaties and the things like that, and it's just been taken, and it has been stripped, and it has been used, and that completely has caused major brokenness in this relationship when it comes to the relationship to Canada and non-Indigenous people, because they're the ones that have taken the land, right? And the thing is, most Indigenous people, I'm not saying everybody, but most Indigenous people have accepted that the relationship with the land will never be restored fully, right, to what it once was. There is a desire to have that restoration, but it is broken. And it's been broken to past evils that have happened and atrocities, things that we've talked about. You've talked about, I'm sure, residential schools just being one of them. When you actually came on the land and you took children from the land and you sometimes still even had the schools on the land, right? So these places where such evil was done literally were placed on the sacred land. All those things have tied into the 60s scoop, if you've heard about that. That was a time where there was police, Indian government agents would come in and they would take kids as well, and it was tied into the residential school system. But I can't imagine, you know, as a father, someone coming and just taking my kids. That's what's broken me about all this. And stripping them of everything and saying, you can't be a Christian anymore, and you can't wear this anymore, and you can't talk this way. All of that ties in to the land as well. So that's just something, and I encourage you, you know, me and Connor were saying this before, is to leave today with actually more questions is okay. Because that's where you keep looking and keep learning about the land. Look at the land, there's royal proclamations that you look at and actually see from the past of what was talked about in the land and treaties and why there's such brokenness. So I encourage you guys to check that out.
And I can give you a practical example. So this past week I actually got to take an Indigenous studies class as a week-long class where being a 100-level class, it's very broad strokes. You kind of learn a very big swath of First Nations history. But one of the things I wanted to know more about was my knowledge is severely lacking in, yeah, treaties, royal proclamations, land claims. That was something that I just didn't know about. And so we had the chance to hear from a First Nations man from the Six Nations kind of grouping. It's a collaboration of multiple First Nations that have all come together to form a collective.
Ontario.
Yeah, in Ontario. Yeah, and he's an expert on land claims. The Six Nations is currently in court with the Canadian government about a land claim where the government had set aside the Grand River, which runs from one of the Great Lakes, and they had said 6 miles on either side of the river we are setting aside as yours. And that worked for a while until they wanted to build a road across it, and the First Nation said, yeah, we'll lease you that land. And then every, I think it was, you know, 21 years, we'll just come back to the lease and look at it. And so they built the road, and then the government's, you know, said, oh, yeah, you, settlers, yeah, you guys can build houses on either side of the road, and they lost that claim. Mm-hmm. And so Six Nations has been fighting that and saying, well, actually, we have documentation, we have everything that you know, this was the agreed upon deal, and you broke that deal. And this has been a fight for 100 years, and the government has said, yeah, you're right, but we're not going to do anything about it. And he said in the class, he said, yeah, you know, we've been fighting for 100 years, and we'll be fighting for another 1,000, mm-hmm. because this is never going to come to fruition. Yeah. And that was the moment where me and Andrew had been talking about this before. I was like, yeah, like, he doesn't see that relationship ever really being restored.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. The broken deals and the handshakes and the signed signatures mm-hmm. actually meant really nothing.
Yeah.
In the whole grand scheme of things.
Yeah. And so a big part of the story of Indigenous people in Canada has been betrayal and brokenness, right? Betrayal that's led to brokenness. And unfortunately, this is one of the worst parts that I wrestle with, like I said, a pastor as an Indigenous person though as well, is that some of this brokenness, when it comes to residential schools and other things, has actually been perpetrated by the church. Right? I had people reach out to me, non-Christian people, after the discovery of the bodies. One friend reached out to me, he's passionate about Indigenous things, not a follower of Jesus, and reached out to me and said, okay, so like, you must be done like with Christianity now, right? In the church, right? After seeing all this. And I was like, no. Like, I love Jesus still. These are terrible things that happened. But no, I'm not giving up on my faith. But that's what immediately he went to. Is like, well, you've got to be... Now you've seen, right? And the thing is, I already knew. That's the thing about the discovery of the bodies. That it was already known. It just had to actually come to light. But mm-hmm. So for Indigenous people, actually, just talk about that for a moment. I talked to a lot of Indigenous people that weren't as broken as non-Indigenous people. Because they already knew. It just had brought it back up. It was just another painful reminder to see it on the news and stuff. But I was talking to non-Indigenous people who are way more like, how could this happen? I can't believe this and this. And Indigenous people were just like, we've known about this for a long time.
It's about time.
It's about time is what we kept hearing, right? So, but with the church, how do we handle that? I don't know if there's any thoughts on that right now. We can just, if there's any discussion on that, like I said, we can go off. But as followers of Jesus, right? Those of us who are followers of Jesus and in the church and ministry maybe even, wow. Any ideas of how do we handle this? Because it is under the name of the church that these things were done. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts or want to discuss that or anything else. You know, we can just stop here for a second and have some conversation if you want about that.
Yeah, it's a tough question.
It's a tough question. And that's okay if you just need to sit with that and even think about that through the rest of this weekend and look more into it. Because it is something that the church needs to get right. That's the thing, right? And there's the thinking out there. It's like, well, we didn't do this. So we don't have to fix it. I'm like, no, as followers of Jesus, our generation, these generations right now, it is our job, I believe, to be able to help clean up this mess. And that's kind of why I want to talk about this today. Yeah.
Could you repeat the...
So what can we do, any ideas when it comes to how do we handle the fact that these terrible things were done to Indigenous people under the name of the church, the Catholic, the Lutheran, it doesn't matter, it was under the name of the church and God, right? That these schools were run by, these residential schools, a lot of them, most of them, were run by some sort of church organization. And the people who aren't Christian, they don't even care if it was Catholic or it was God to them.
Well,
right?
The way I see it is that no matter what we do, people will still be angry at the church for what the church has done over many years. So
mm-hmm.
the best thing we can do for now is just keep representing Christ and just loving each other, one another. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I stick with the key of loving God and loving others, right? That's a good point, because like, we can't bring true healing to what's happened. But I think the key is like, well, what are we going to do moving forward, right? Because mm-hmm. we can get stuck in the past. We get stuck in residential schools and all that discussion. But like, but what about now? It's not to forget that. But as the church now, we certainly want to have a way better way of how we're doing things, right? Even though we may not be running schools right now, there's still broken systems mm-hmm. that are just different names now. in some ways, right?
Yep.
Well, what do you think about how the Pope handled it? He made an apology, but the apology was for some members of, so he's kind of pulling apart distinctions between, I guess, the parts that were broken and the parts that aren't. It wasn't a blank statement, I apologize for everything.
Right. So kind of segmented it a bit.
Is that something that you could do? Find specific things to to deal with?
I mean, and that's where it goes to. So, I mean, I think it was a good step that the Pope did that. I mean, because that was a long thing. But, like, is that really going to do much, like you said, of how it was shared? I'll have to look exactly what he said again. But we've been given the calls to action, right? Have you guys heard about the 94 calls to action? Something that was created by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of, we need to get things right, so we are going to make these 94 calls to action. Like we said, that's what reconciliation is. This is actually what non-Indigenous people can do to help bring restoration and reconciliation. And so read those. If you haven't read those, and we can help point you where they are, you can just Google 94 calls to action. They are practical things of what you actually can do. And there's all different categories for the church, for the school, for individuals that you can look at and see what you can do. So I think that's one thing to look at too, is the action side of it. But the words from the Pope aren't going to do much, right? They're just a thing that, okay, well, he's done it now, but what's it going to do when it comes to true healing, right?
Well, I wonder if it's what you said, it's a part of a lament.
So the apology from the Pope, that's one of the points on the TRC.
Yeah, it's
where,
part, exactly.
Where we call for the Pope to apologize for the actions. And of course you want to hear would have been nice to hear just a blanket statement of, hey, yeah, we screwed up. we handled this poorly. This was a disaster of epic proportions that caused generational damage.
Yeah.
But the church seems very unwilling to do that. And I think we need to ask why.
Right.
Is it we're afraid of the backlash? Are we afraid of being vulnerable? And I don't have the answer to that question.
I think it's messy, right? That's the thing when it comes to stuff that I've learned is it's messy. I'm just gonna take a question. You had a question, and then I'll get yours in a second. Yeah. Did you have another question about it? Or sorry.
One thing my youth pastor always told me is that do what you can and God will take care of the rest, because as humans, there's only so much we can do because we're selfish, evil, greedy, etc.
Sinful, yeah. But we can still do something, right? And that's kind of what the heart of what we're sharing today is, like, what can we actually do still so that we're not just sitting being paralyzed? A lot of the issues, the church, like you're saying, Connor, is like, have been paralyzed. Well, we don't know what to do with this. We don't know what to say. We don't even know what to call you. So, like, what do we even do? So we're just not going to do anything, or we're going to kind of give you some money maybe, or do different things like this. But, like, what is actually being done? But, yeah, you have a question back there. Yeah.
It's not a question. It's just, like, coming back to what you said before about, like, what should the church do or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think something that's been laying on my heart is, like, reconciliation from God's heart, because, like, that's the whole story of Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
amen.
Us being reconciled to him.
Yep.
And so I feel like ignoring it definitely isn't the way to go, and we know that reconciliation is on God's heart.
Yeah.
That's just something that keeps popping up.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thanks for making that. We serve a God of reconciliation, right? A God who restores brokenness. A God, like, all throughout Scripture, you see that. And so we serve this God as followers of Jesus. This is who we follow. Then we better make sure that we are trying to get reconciliation right. Because, like you said, I love how you said it, like, that's his heart. It's his heart. So is it our heart, though? That's the big question that I've asked myself a lot, too, is it my heart truly to see this? And I've learned over the years that, yeah, it is. I want to see healing. I want to see restoration, because there's been so much pain and brokenness. And it grieves the heart of God. And if it grieves the heart of God, it should grieve us too, right? And that's what the lament part is. Yeah, your question, your thought.
I wonder, just in terms of what the church can do, if you have any thoughts in, I think, that we don't repeat the same mistakes.
Right.
Looking differently.
Yeah.
Because do you have any thoughts on contextualizing? We think church should look like this. That's our Western-minded culture and how our churches look. So in how we can embrace Indigenous culture and how they worship and interact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big question. Me and Connor have talked about this quite a bit, but Connor has any thoughts?
This is a topic that I'm super passionate
about. This is where we could go a whole other seminar.
I could go on about
this. Go ahead, just give a few thoughts.
A big part of this past class I took, we talked a lot about this, about indigenous spirituality and how do we as Christians handle spirituality from a First Nations perspective, but also as a multicultural perspective. And we didn't get any answers in the class. It was a lot of, you need to figure out a lot of this stuff for yourself. You need to do soul searching, you need to seek the spirit, you need to read the scriptures, because it's going to look different for every other person. You're going to come across First Nations people who say, you know what, now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to leave all that behind. You're going to see First Nations that say, you know what, I want to bring that with me, because that's part of who I am. I've seen both. And are either of those wrong? No. That is a personal choice. But the church needs to be willing to step back and say, how we do church isn't the only way to do church. How we structure church, how we worship, how we even read the scriptures, how we interpret the scriptures is not the be-all and end-all of Christianity. And things that don't fit into that mold are wrong and evil and dangerous.
Right.
And we just need to be willing to have those conversations. Again, it all comes back to relationship.
Yeah.
Of until there's actually a relationship, you can't have these conversations.
Yeah.
You can't have these conversations with each other, with First Nations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd strongly suggest a reconciliation with the church, even with nature itself.
Mm-hmm. Like the actual creation.
Yeah.
Yeah, actual creation.
It's
because
a key.
The ancient monastics believed that God wrote two scriptures, the Word and nature.
Mm.
Yeah.
And as Christian churches, we've feared nature, I think, and let's kind of push that aside.
Yeah, that's a good.
So I think that reconciliation with nature would go a long ways with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and when you can look at different cultures, you can see in the just to kind of, I think, maybe not tie up this topic, but to, you know, we can look at different cultures and we can look into Genesis and we can see that God created diversity right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't create people all in the same mold. He didn't create all of creation in the same mold.
Yeah.
And that when we can bring different cultures into the church to form a body, you know, mm-hmm. you know, Terry LeBlanc said, you know, the church right now is a toe. Everyone's a toe, but we need the full body. Mm-hmm. And by seeing how other cultures worship, to seeing how they sing their songs, how they write their songs, how they read the scriptures, allows us to get a new glimpse into who God is. Mm-hmm. That I think are the church model right now is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But those are all conversations that, you know, we need to have with our own churches, with our own congregations, and with other cultures that are around us.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to give you a blanket answer.
No.
The answer's not either.
I was asked in interviews, because Sid Koops here this weekend, I was on a youth workers podcast, and they asked me that question. Sid asked me, like, as a pastor, what would you do? Like, what are you doing, and what are some ideas you have? And one of the first things is very practical. A lot of the stuff is practical we're talking about. We try to think way out there, but like, there's the practical things. And I said, we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to preach about it. Because a lot of churches, I mean, some definitely are, but a lot of them, unless it's Orange Shirt Day or around the discovery of the bodies, that's when sermons maybe popped up about it. But what about the rest of the time? Are we talking about that? Because we live, particularly here in the province, if you're from Saskatchewan, where the numbers are actually going to be more Indigenous people than non-Indigenous people, like, not far from now type thing. I'm not sure what it is now, but I know that that's what it is. So we need to be preaching on it. We need to be talking about it. And one of my hearts in my role here at the school and in general in the various spheres I am is let's talk. Because there's been too much, like, not talking about things, and therefore there isn't action. And so I've had people come into my office here, and they're kind of like shy about, like, well, can I actually say this? I always let people know, you can say whatever you want. Because there's been a lot of fear of offense, and I get that, because there's a lot of pain. But how are we going to work through the pain if we don't step into the pain?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I've had some hard conversations with people here and beyond. One person asked me another place I was at, is like, okay, Andrew, like, when is it going to be enough? Like, we are doing these, we're giving this money, we're doing these things, but like, when is it going to be enough? And I listened, and then part of me is like, oh, like, you know, like, but once again, there is an element, guys, and I mean, I just use this word of ignorance, right? Because a lot of us, maybe, you know, maybe more now, but when I was growing up, I didn't learn about this stuff in school. I learned about the settlers and I learned about the fur trade and things like that. I didn't learn about residential schools growing up in Regina. I don't remember any of that. And so there is an ignorance, and we need to, like, actually realize there is an ignorance. So what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it. So we had an event here where we watched a show called First Contact, which I recommend. They got, not a Christian show, but they got people from across Canada who had strong discrimination or strong ignorance of Indigenous culture, and they took them all across Canada, and they embedded them in Indigenous culture with Indigenous people, so they could actually get first-hand experience, not just from what they saw on a screen. And it's super powerful. There's 2 seasons of it, and I can attach you to it through APTN. But after we watched this season, Connor and I, we hosted discussions, a talking circle, which is an Indigenous thing, and said, hey, like, what do you think? What did you see and made you want to discuss more, ask questions? And we got some awesome discussions, and they were hard things, but that's a step towards walking into the messiness of this instead of being like, well, we're hands off. So I think the church, enter into the messiness of it, because we have God with us, first of all, who, like we said, is a God of reconciliation, who will help lead us in this, because we're not going to move forward if we don't step in.
Yeah.
That's one thing I said.
Well, yeah, and that goes back to the, you know, listening, learning, and lamenting.
Yeah, exactly.
Being to rest and be in that uncomfortable place of lamenting.
Yeah.
We are people who like to be comfortable. Mm. And being uncomfortable for any length of time is uncomfortable. And to realize that, no, you know what? It's okay. Like, it's okay that I'm sad right now. It's okay that I'm lamenting right now, because this needs to happen. I am doing a disservice if I am trying to move on from this too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so be okay in being uncomfortable, especially in this situation, of having these difficult conversations, of being like, you know what, I'm going to say this. I'm sure it might come across as slightly racist or, you know, bring to the surface some of my prejudices or biases, mm-hmm. but we're all learning together.
Relationship, right?
Like, we're all in relationship, and this is going to be, I believe, the key issue in the church over the next 50 years,
mm-hmm.
as the church continues to wrestle with this,
mm-hmm.
and what is our role in taking that first step, mm-hmm. into reconciliation and right relationship.
Yeah, and how can we? That's a great word to use, Connor. Is wrestle, because it is a wrestle. This is not easy stuff. Like I said, I've had conversations where I feel uncomfortable for a moment, they feel uncomfortable, but like, that's a good word, is like, as Christians, it's okay to be uncomfortable. There's a lot of things in scripture where, like, you need to step into the uncomfortable, right? If you think the Bible is about comfort, then you don't know the Bible very well, because that's not the call of a Christian, that's not the call, it's not the way Jesus was, right? And so, let's be people who are willing and wanting to step into the uncomfortableness, right? With God's help, because whenever I enter conversations, I'm God, give me the words and give me the ears to listen and whatever you need me to lead in it, right? So those are some of the things, those are one of the biggest things, you know, I want to share with you guys, is the relationship can be uncomfortable. So in this initiative I said that I'm a project manager of, let me tell you, the first like Zoom conversations I had with this young guy I got paired with from Ontario, they were uncomfortable on both ends. I mean, it's through Zoom too, but it was uncomfortable because he's like, I don't know what I can ask and what. And I just said, man, you can ask whatever you want. And that tore down walls. And that's one of the things, guys, that has been so evident in all of what we're talking about, is there's walls. There's walls on the non-Indigenous side. There's walls on the Indigenous side. There's walls in the church. And walls, obviously, we know we're going to stop things. And the hope of reconciliation is to begin to tear down walls. Because it's about walking with each other, not staying guarded in our own places. Because healing is never going to happen if we stay behind walls. And so, I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that, or, you know, any other things maybe you've seen in your experience when it comes to kind of what we're talking about. I'll give you guys a second if there's anything you want to share, or any other question that comes to your mind. Like, we'll take a few moments here and we'll wrap up in a few minutes, but anything that we kind of talked about that gets you kind of thinking or in your own situation?
Or if we can clarify anything?
Yeah, if we can clarify anything, yeah. I know we're covering a lot here now today too, but that's kind of stuff like this. But
yeah,
the heart is relationships, though.
I like what you said. This program of pairing peoples together.
Yeah.
Found with in my realm of construction, barriers really break down when you're working beside somebody hand in hand, going towards the goal.
Yeah.
And didn't matter what you look like,
yeah.
Where you came from. Just having that common goal and just working together really tended to break down the defenses and open us up.
Yeah,
it's a good program.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's awkwardness on both sides.
Yeah.
I like there that is, because it's not just, you know, us white people who are like, oh, I hope I don't offend them. But, you know, there's questions that I've had First Nations ask me. They're like, I'm afraid to ask you this because, you know, it's awkward. And, you know, and so to both come together and say, like, you know, ask away. Like, whatever you ask, I'm not going to get offended at, because, you know, this is a relationship that we want to build.
Yeah. And going back to scripture, we don't want to leave scripture out of this, right? There's the fruit of the Spirit. All the things that we should be, they should be pouring out of us. That should be evident in what we're doing, right? Like gentleness and kindness and patience. All those things, as followers of Jesus, we should bring into these relationships and these conversations, right? So that if someone did come to my office and say, Andrew, I want to ask you a question, and they said something wrong, I'd be like, oh, like, how dare you? Like, right? That's now walls, right? And it's on both sides. It's on both sides. And that's what, there's issues on both sides. There's brokenness on both sides in different ways. But it's to walk into that. And to not think as non-Indigenous people that, once again, the history has been, we have the answers. Right? So we're going to come to you. Like, I talked at a school in Moose Jaw, and these girls were in, I think it was grade 7 or grade 8, and they had such a heart for Indigenous people. They were non-Indigenous, right? Christian girls. And they said, okay, well, what can we do? They're like, well, let's call up a reserve, and let's just see what we can do. So they called up a reserve outside Regina, just called them up, and grade 7, I think they were grade 7 girls, and they said, like, what can we do? We'd love to come there. We would love to help. And they used all this language that was the right heart. But they were completely shut down because they're like, who are you to like call, right? And so that's been the history. And so they asked me and they were kind of discouraged, like, well, what can we do? Because we tried. And honestly, sometimes only thing we can do is pray. Because I'm very thankful that I have access to places because of my status, because of what I do with rapping. As soon as people find out, and like I said, I don't visibly look Indigenous, right? I might have Indigenous characteristics and stuff, but people don't look at me like that's an Indigenous man, right? And that's been my struggle of identity and wrestling with that. But as soon as people find out that I'm Indigenous, oh, and you're also a rapper, now I'm in, right? So I've been thankful to have access to that world. Kind of like Moses. He grew up in this world, was taken out and brought back in. That's kind of how I see the call for me. But not everybody here, not everybody has that access. So what can you do? Well, you have access to God, right? All of us have access to be able to pray. So even look up the reserves in your area and Indigenous leaders and just pray for them. There's power in that. You might not be able to roll up to a reservation and just like, hey, like, you know, like, here I am. Because why? Because of the walls, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the truth of it. But you can pray. You can pray that the Lord would lead you to relationships. You can pray for Indigenous people. Pray for healing. And so that may sound like, it's just a practical, like, yeah, just pray. But, like, I have found great power and things have happened when we pray.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, and
it's
the...
hard, but.
Yeah, that story of the girls, you know, the heart's in the right place.
The heart is right, yeah.
But they still come from a place that we want to come help.
Yes,
absolutely. And again, the heart's in the right place, but that calls back to how the mission, you know, kind of how the missionaries would have viewed things. Like, we come from a place of right, and we're here to fix you or to...
Yes,
and
the whole thinking, yeah.
And so, you know, I've had people come and ask, like, you know, I want to build these relationships, but where do I go? I said, you know what? Yeah, call the reserve and ask and say, hey, I want to be educated. I want to come listen.
Yes, yeah, that's the approach.
And that comes from a place of humility, comes from a place of I don't know everything, and there are things that you guys have that I want to know.
Yeah.
And that's where I tell people to start. I mean, that takes courage, though. And chances are you might still get shut down because, again, but come from a place of listening and being, I want to come and learn.
Yeah.
Rather than I want to come help.
Yeah, exactly. And that's key. And so just to wrap up here, we've got a couple more minutes, is when it comes to we evangelize, right, like sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, the truth of Jesus with indigenous people, it has been words. It has been exactly what Connor said. We're coming and we're going to bring it to you. And what I've learned in my experience and what I challenge each of you is it's about living out a Christ-centered life and building relationships. So I've been able to grow a ministry with my rap on TikTok. And I don't go on there and just open the Bible and say, you guys are all sinners and you need to come to Jesus. Like, that's not how I do it. I do it through showing loving comments. I do it through still talking about God, but not just like bringing it right in your face. And that is effective because people see Jesus by our actions, by how we live. Yes, we need to still proclaim the gospel, but we proclaim the gospel through how we live. And so with indigenous people, that's how they're going to see it. It's relationships. And relationships, one of the biggest things we should say is take time.
Yeah.
Right? I used to be on a ministry where we'd go into reserves, and it was great. We would do shows, and we would do things, but we would go in for a day or two, and then we would leave. And I always wrestle with that in my spirit, because I'm like, this is not the... You need to be invested for a while when it comes to indigenous people, because of the history, because of the walls, and showing Christ, reflecting God in all of that. Because we don't have all the answers, like we said today. Hopefully that's clear, right? But we are called to simply to live out Christ in this darkness, in this brokenness that we see. And although we may not solve these deep issues that we have, right? When we take up the cause, Scripture says, to taking up the cause appoints and obeying the call to action, then we are helping bring right relationship. And the name of the seminar is, how do we do reconciliation right? It is beginning to do that and with our indigenous sisters and brothers. And it's not easy, and it's messy, and it's uncomfortable. But with each little relationship you build, you are moving towards reconciliation, right? As you listen more, as you learn, as you lament, as you look at Scripture and say, God, like, how do we do this? You are becoming an agent of reconciliation. And so just to encourage you as well today, you're doing it right now. The fact that you've come here and you've listened and you're taking this in, and hopefully you're going to look deeper, this is a step of action that you've taken, even being a participant. And we thank you for that. I appreciate that so much. As an indigenous man, thank you for coming today, for even listening and taking the time to be like, you know what, I want to learn more about it. I want to see what this is about. So, just a couple other thoughts on what's
culture. Yeah, well, I'm just going to share a short story about how I saw this work out in some of the work that I was doing. So one of the things that drew me to Esperanza was, the being a good neighbor. I'm always hesitant when I say this, but our goal was never to share the gospel first. It was just to live out our faith in practical ways. And when God opened a door and someone said, like, hey, you're kind of weird. Why do you do this? Or what is this all about? I could say, yeah, I'm a Jesus follower. And because there's an existing relationship then. Mm-hmm. And so one of the families on one of the reserves that we worked with very close by, their kids had come to camp. You know, we'd go in and visit on Sundays. He was on the council. We knew of them. Acquaintances. And he... had reached out to us. He'd sent us an email. We'd actually had a meeting the week before as a group, and we were like, you know what, we would love to have the opportunity to be a part of a Bible study in Hattusat. And so we kind of prayed about it, you know, didn't really do anything about it. And then the next week we got an email from this man who kind of just laid out his life in this email and said, like, my family's broken. I'm angry all the time. I'm lashing out at my wife. My kids hate me. Just this story of a broken family, broken relationships. And he said, you know, I went to residential school. He says, I was introduced to Jesus. But he said, I know you guys also follow Jesus. And your Jesus is not the Jesus that I know. And he said, and I need to know that Jesus. Because I see the way you treat each other. I see the way you treat complete strangers. And I need that in my life. So, and I know you guys learn about Jesus through the Bible. So will you come in and help me and my family start reading the Bible together? Mm-hmm. And that was like, you know, blow me out of my shoes and my socks. Like, yeah. Like it was just, you know, everything that I kind of believed in and wanted to happen was just laid out in front of me. Mm-hmm. Not because anything I did, but all through God living through me, yeah. and the other people who were there. And so we were able to go in and kind of start reading the Bible together. And then when they got comfortable, they started inviting other people from the community, and we saw that family transformed.
Amen. That's awesome.
And so let that be an encouragement to you that, you know, it takes time. It's a slow process. But when you can live out who Jesus is in your life in practical, loving, faithful ways, the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole heart of this is, this weekend, right, is about homecoming. And when I think of homecoming, you know, I think of the prodigal son, which I know is going to be talked about all this weekend, but it's we've gone away and we want to come back in restoration. And so homecoming for indigenous people, all of that, it takes one relationship at a time. Like there's a quote here from Murray Sinclair, who was all about the residential schools and the TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He said, residential schools were with us for 130 years until 1996, if you didn't know that. The last one closed in 1996 here in Saskatchewan, actually. Seven generations of children went to residential schools. It's going to take generations to fix things. And that's the truth, but we do it with God's help. We do it with His empowering. So we're kind of out of time here. I don't know if there's any other quick questions. I do want to say this, like, me and Conrad will be around the building today. So if you're like, hey, I still have this question, please try and grab us. Hopefully find us. We do have
Or if you want to arrange a time, come and talk to us now, yeah. And we can meet later in the day.
There's only so much we can do in a session like this, unfortunately. But I don't know if there's any other closing, just quick thoughts or comments. I do want to close in prayer because we need to ask God for our help in this. I want to do it too. But any quick thing here while we close? But please, like we said, please don't hesitate to ask, because you're like, oh, I really have this question or thought. Like, That's what we've been talking about today. That's how we do it, right?
You might not get an answer, but you'll get a response.
Yeah, you still get a response and look further, right? So
are we going to hear you rap this weekend?
I'm doing. I wrote a theme song for the weekend. Okay. So tonight I'm going to be, I'll be doing that and stuff. And I'm doing more indigenous stuff. I have a song called Two Worlds, where I talk about being indigenous but being raised in a non-indigenous world. And how do I do that? So more and more, my indigenous stuff is coming out in my music, because it's the tool that can be used in the indigenous world, right? A lot of indigenous youth that I know will never, ever go into a church for a lot of reasons we're talked about, but they will listen to my rap, and they will hear the truth of God in it. So that's what, you know, I do. So, yeah, tonight I'm doing that, though. So.
And you don't want to hear me rap.
It's a whole other, yeah. let's pray. Once again, I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to come. This is a good step towards right relationship, and let's just pray here to close today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God. You are God of all, Lord, and we recognize that, and we thank you, Lord, that you are reigning above all, and you are a God of reconciliation. Your heart is to see healing. Your heart is to see true restoration and brokenness. And when we talk about the things we're talking about today, God, there's so much brokenness. There's so much pain. There's so much deep hurt. There's so much trauma that now is carried on into current generations and still going on and on and on. But Lord, you are the great healer. You are the great restorer. And Lord, we are your people, Lord. We follow you. Those of us here, Lord, who follow you, we want to be agents of reconciliation. So Lord, give us wisdom when it comes to conversations. Give us prompting when it comes to prayer. Give us relationships, Lord, that maybe already are in our lives, but we haven't entered into more of the mess of it. Help us, Lord, to be people who aren't afraid, to not have a spirit of fear, Lord, that's not from you. To have a spirit of courage and boldness to walk into the mess of talking about issues and the mess of pain. Because God, you are a God who meets us in the mess. You're a God who works in that darkness, who works in the pain. And we see that in your word, and we see that in our lives. And so I pray for each one here, Lord. Help us do that. Help us learn more. Help us listen more. Help us lament. Help us grow so that we can all begin to be people who work towards right relationship with our indigenous brothers and sisters. So help us, God. We need your help, and we thank you for the time we've had today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming and listening. Amen. Yeah. Feel free to grab us, though, if you can, too. Even we'll be back here for a bit here still, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend, and...